I was recently asked to speak about the murder of the planet and the state of the Earth, and I was given 5 minutes. So this is what I wrote to say. I was asked to speak about the state of the planet and to do it in under 5 minutes. I can do it in 3. The world's being murdered, flayed alive, poisoned, gutted, dismembered. Every biological indicator is going the wrong direction, and it's getting worse by the day. 200 species were driven extinct today, and they were my brothers and sisters. 200 will go extinct tomorrow and the day after. There are stolid scientists who are saying the oceans could be devoid of fish in less than 35 years. Imagine that. The murder of the oceans on this water planet. I think if one were to list the accomplishments of this culture, that near the top of the list would be the murder of the oceans. I think if you ask somebody 4,000 years ago, so do you think, which is more extraordinary, to put a human being up on the moon or to kill the entire ocean? I think they would say it would be harder to kill the entire ocean. The problems we're facing aren't new. This culture has been killing the planet for 6 to 10,000 years. When we think of Iraq, it's the first thing we think of, cedar forests so thick that sunlight never reached the ground. That's how it was prior to this culture. The first written myth of this culture is Gilgamesh, deforesting in the hills and valleys of Iraq to make a great city. You know, I saw a documentary the other day on the most recent U.S. invasion of Iraq, and one of the things that blew me away is they would oftentimes show vistas, and from horizon to horizon, there would not be a single tree. Next time you see one of those documentaries, picture that, all as a cedar forest with huge ancient trees and the sunlight never touching the ground. The Arabian Peninsula was oak savanna, and the forests of North Africa were cut to make the Egyptian and Phoenician navies. Greece was heavily forested. Forests precede us, and deserts dog our heels. And not every culture has destroyed their land bases. For example, the Chumash in Southern California lived there for at least 13,000 years. And when the Europeans arrived, the place was an ecological paradise. Likewise, where I live, right here, the Talua lived for at least 12,500 years. And likewise, when the Europeans arrived, the place was a paradise. No longer. A dear doctor friend of mine always says that the first step toward proper treatment is diagnosis. If we refuse to diagnose the problems, our actions will never resolve them. I mean, think about this for your own health. That if you have some ailment and you never even do the most rudimentary diagnosis, how can you act such that you try to treat this illness? And the problems are not soluble by tweaking processes. The problems are inherent in how we perceive the world, how we interact with the world, what we value, and they're functional and inherent to this culture's economy. For example, what is GNP? You know, several years ago, I shared the stage with Ward Churchill, and beforehand we're talking backstage, and I said, I can't believe how stupid the Germans were. I mean, well, it was atrocious. I can't believe how stupid they were to keep such meticulous track of their atrocities. There's these extraordinary records of how many teeth they pulled and how many bales of hair they got. That's just really stupid in terms of eventually getting hanged for your crimes. And he just looked at me and he said, Derek, what do you think GNP is? GNP is a measure of how quickly this culture is converting the living to the dead. That's what this is the economy turns a living planet into dead products, trees into 2x4s, living rivers into kilowatts, schools of fish into fish sticks. None of this is cognitively challenging. We would all understand this if we weren't from early childhood inculcated into believing that the economy is more important than life. If we weren't taught that what humans create has meaning and what the world creates does not. That humans have sentience and meaningful lives and non-humans and natural communities do not. I mean, if we were to ask people to think of the 5 most beautiful pieces of art they've ever seen or heard or experienced, chances are good that people would be saying, I don't know, the Mona Lisa or the Sistine Chapel or some other thing like that. But why not this? Why not the goldfinch that you might or might not be hearing in the background? both the sound of the goldfinch. Why is that not art? Why is the goldfinch not creating beautiful music? Why do we not consider that music? Why do we consider that merely bird song? And what if everything about our way of perceiving the world is wrong? What if life is not a game of monopoly or risk where the point is to run the board, but rather if life is a symphony where the point is to learn your proper role and play it at the proper time? The point is not for violin players to kill the oboe players and convert them to cash, but rather to make beautiful music together. The only measure by which we'll be judged by those humans and non-humans that come after, presuming any remain, will be the health of the earth. They're going to care about whether the earth can support life. They're not going to care about whether we wrote really big books, and they're not going to care if we made lots of money, and they're not going to care if we were nice people. They're not going to care if we weren't nice people. What they're going to care about is whether they can drink the water and breathe the air. They're going to care about whether the land can actually support life. They're not going to care, as much as I'm enjoying the current run by the Gonzaga Bulldogs basketball team, they're not going to care if they won the NCAA tournament. At this point in the murder of the planet, there is, I think, really only one question worth asking. Is the world a better place because you were born and because of your life and because of what you do? That's very possible to do. Think about it. How did the world get to be so glorious and beautiful and fecund in the first place? By everyone living and dying. Salmon make forests better places by living and dying. So do redwood trees and lampreys and banana slugs. That's how life works. So the question that the world needs for us to live is, especially given that this culture is killing the planet, how do we individually and collectively make the world a better place by our lives and deaths, by our actions? The planet, not the culture. And that's as true for any collection of people as it is for us individually. How do we make the real physical, still fecund world that's our only home better for hammerhead sharks, for coho salmon, for giant anteaters, for Mekong catfish, Amani flatwings, Cayman Islands ghost orchids, and orangutans, and a larger community that they all call home?